Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and Friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Succi, and I'm live in the studio tonight. How you doing for tuning in from New York? Tweet me at Max Succi. Hit me up on Instagram at Max Succi. Give me some love there and give me some love here. I'm in LA. I flew in. We're doing shows for Jessica, the Polish Woman. We're doing shows for Sherry Carney, the new Roar with Sherry. That Sherry's going to be on tonight, so stay tuned. But my top guest that's coming on is Allison Wynn Scotch, an author. There's a great event happening this week in Santa Monica at Bloomingdale, so we're going to talk about that here. But before, I got to just take a minute to breathe. Are you all taking that minute to breathe? It's like the last hour on the East Coast, and you're like, this motherfucker is crazy tonight. I have been in the studio since 3 o'clock this afternoon, literally, because I'm doing shows for you all, so we have them in the can, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? I have just flown in. I was in New York for my birthday. We went to go see Ain't Too Proud. Y'all go this week because it's Derek's last week. Last show was on Wednesday, so we're going to play some music from that tonight. I went to go see Tina on Broadway. Blew my mind. We saw Shaquita. Oh, my God. We went to Delmonico's for dinner. It was like a whirlwind weekend of my birthday, my 41st birthday. It was so much fun. And then my birthday show, y'all, Ashley Longshore was on last week. And then we had the CSM Miami hole. That was the best of shows. Speaking of best of shows, I now have a new podcast called Max and Friends Best of Shows. Why not? And it's my almost 12 years of shows. We've picked some of the best of shows. They're on Apple, they're on Spotify, and wherever you listen to your iPods and your podcasts and all, whatever. Honey children, I am so tired tonight. Oh, and then of course, prior to my birthday, we went and saw Michelle Collins. She was in Miami, and then we saw her in New York, and we hung out with her there. It was just like so much whirlwind fun. Everybody who came out to my birthday party, I adore you. My luncheon, rather, I should say. It was a small group, and it was intentional, and I love you all for responding that, why weren't you invited? Because I wasn't in charge of the guest list, but I love you all, and I really do. And if you know me, I don't have to apologize. If I wanted you there, you all would have been there, but it wasn't like my party that I threw, so you were all there with me in spirit, and I love you. Listen, next week, we got to talk about that real quick. Next Sunday, you all need to tune in to Max and Friends, because if you remember the show, The Voice, Kimberly Joy is going to be on next week. Let me tell you, we just did the interview. I think that's why I'm so hyped up, too. I just finished the interview with her for next Sunday. Amazing. Amazing in all sorts of ways. I love how my live shows are completely different from my pre-records, because it's like, I know you all are tuning in and listening. So I love you for that. But really, I got to take a minute to just catch a breath. Like, literally, it's been nonstop. I love you for tuning in. I'm posting right now. You're gunning on me right now. Like, why aren't I posting on Instagram? Follow me at Max Succi. I just posted, okay? We're working here. We're doing our thing. We're trying our best. We're doing. Okay. My guest tonight, Allison Wynn Scotch, New York Times bestselling author. Okay. The books, there's so many. Between Me and You, and the new one that's coming out this August, it's entitled Cleo McDougall Regrets Nothing. It already sounds like it needs to be on Netflix. So you know what? Let's get our guest on, Allison Wynn Scotch. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Thank you. Happy belated birthday.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted from talking about it.
A week before you too. It's so exhausting.
Wait, when's your birthday?
It sounds like you made the most of it. So
you're an Aquarius, you said? Your birthday was a week before mine?
Oh, no. I was in New York a week before you. I'm a Gemini. So.
Oh, okay. So you could be an Aquarius because there's two of you.
But, yeah. No. I understand the back and forth New York commute. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But it sounds like you had a great time.
Girl, so. We sucked every minute out of life. There. And I just needed a book to read on the plane, you know? So I wish, like, I love the title, Cleo McDougal Regrets Nothing. It already needs to be on Netflix. Let's talk about it right here, right
Thank
now.
Thank you. Okay, I agree. Let's get it on Netflix. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. It's out in August, and I feel like it's super relevant for this year. It is about a young senator, female, Cleo McDougal, who is planning to run for president, and her best friend from childhood writes an op-ed that like blows up her world, and she has to go and make amends for all of the regrets that she has lamented over her life. So that's the premise.
And who would play her if it was on Netflix?
Oh, I have a wish list. She's 37. She's a single mom. She's sort of like a ball buster. The whole cast is actually like a sort of group of powerful, diverse women. So, I have like a dream of like an Anne Hathaway, Scarlett Johansson, but everybody, there's her best friend. I picture like Gabrielle Union, like the whole thing.
You got it planned. You got it planned.
About who wants to come on board and fill out my make-believe movie.
No, don't say make-believe. Listen, we create our own reality, so we can't say it's make-believe because I'm going to put it out there. We're going to create it. Stuff happens here on Max.
All right, Max. Thank you. But yeah, I'm excited about it. It feels like people are starting to read it early and sort of tapping into what I think a lot of women are feeling right now. So, we'll see.
On August 1st is going to be here, like just around the corner.
I feel like the gap between that and now, that caught me off guard, Max. I'm like, what?
No, it's true, though. It is the elephant birth. You know, all books are the elephant birth, but August 1st is like just around the river's bend.
I know. I mean, you were correct, but like I have children, like the notion of already getting through toward the end of summer between, what are we in, February?
Hello, we're February. In March.
Okay, you're right. Like, we're already at the end of February. You're right.
Right?
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, like, summer reading. We got to tell people, like, in March about summer reading because everyone's just so preoccupied.
I know. That's right.
Right?
Well, you know, what's so interesting, I was actually out last night and somebody said, oh my gosh, it's not coming out until August. Like, what's taking so long? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
Like, imminent. So,
that is funny.
That's just the course of a book, of the publishing world.
The course of a book, I'm telling you, like, you know, this is not your first book. You're a New York Times bestselling author. It's an elephant birth. It's like, it takes forever.
It is. Oh. It is, and you're just as tired afterwards.
Exactly. And then like this thing comes out and starts walking immediately, and you're like, wait, like what?
That's right.
Yeah.
Soon enough, they don't need you, and you forgot.
And there you go. And then you're on your next.
They're loyal, so.
The elephant bird.
Maybe not, but.
It's funny. But there's so much about you. Okay, so you live in LA. You know, you were supposed to be in the studio, but then you have an event and there's something happened, but it's all good because we'll get you in here again when the book comes out. But
I know. So, I apologize. I'm actually moving. And if you could see me now, you would not want me in studio. I mean, I'm moving locally, but it's like hell on earth in my life right now. I mean, there are obviously worse things than moving, but. I apologize.
Listen, here's my philosophy. Where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. So don't even worry. We're like perfect.
Well,
you're here.
I wish that I were not in my half-packed-up home, but thank you.
You're here. We're live on air right now.
I am in L.A. And
it says here you enjoy...
from New York, so that's why I'm back there a lot.
Oh, so you're like a New Yorker. Were you born in New York?
Yeah, so... No, I wasn't. I sort of lived all over, but my family and I moved to L.A. My husband and I met in New York and lived there for 20 years and then moved to L.A. 7 years ago. So
And then it says here you enjoy hiking. It says here you enjoy hiking, reading, running, yoga, and the company of your two dogs. And when you're not serving as an Uber service for her kids, then you're writing books.
Yeah.
Like, where do you find all the time?
That's right. I'm sorry?
Where do you find all the time?
My kids are, when I wrote that bio, my kids are a little older now, they're teens, so they want very little to do with me at this point. So
now they take their own Uber.
I'm sorry?
Their own Uber.
That's right. So, you write, you treat it like a job, and you get it done, and then when you're not writing, you pack up your house and you move. So it just becomes part of it. At this point, I think a lot of writers probably feel this way. Like, it's such a wonderful position to be in, to know that you can produce and you can publish, but it just becomes a job that, like many others, where, I mean, it's still wonderful, but you wake up and you write and then, you know.
And the biggest misconception is, like, people think, oh, if you're an author, New York Times, it's like, oh, you're making billions of dollars.
Which is, oh, my God, like, not, what a joke.
Which is not true at all.
No, it is not. And particularly when, I mean, God bless screenwriters, but there's, like, such a, like, divergence in publishing. I mean, it's funny, we moved to LA and I thought that was what I was going to do. And it turns out that I really passionately love writing books much more. I shouldn't say nobody is becoming a bajillionaire from it, but.
Oh, there's many.
Very few people.
Right. The legacies of, like, Jackie Collins, Barbara Taylor Bradford.
That's right.
Yeah. And they have
Stephen King, love
him. Yeah.
John Grisham. But, you know, you can sort of sum them up in a small handful. The rest of us, it's a wonderful luxury to have this career where you work from home and you are creative, you know, as a lot of people in LA are, and you have that opportunity to, you know, put figurative pen to paper and make something of it. But Cleo McDougall's my eighth book.
Exactly. I mean, toot your own horn.
It's a job.
And your novels have been translated into 12 different languages. Hello.
I don't do that part.
You would never sleep.
I mean, again, there are really cool aspects of it. In fact, I was just packing up my office. I work from home and I have an office here and I have all these different foreign languages. And, like, that is, I mean, foreign language editions. And that is certainly super cool. But again, it's not like the day to day, you know, word count, grind. Get it done.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of writers, I mean, I know you've interviewed so many people, will tell you that the hardest part of writing and being a writer is actually the writing. Like, it's hard.
You know, Jackie Collins gave the best advice, and I'm going to ask you for yours. She said, if you want to write a book, write one page a day for a year and you'll have your novel at the end of the year. What do you say?
My advice is very similar. It is to establish a realistic word count for yourself. I don't know if it's one page, which is maybe translates to 250 words. You know, it depends on how much time you have in your day, what your other job is like. Maybe it's 100 words, maybe it's 1,000 words. But, you know, if you write 500 words a week, you're at 2,000 words a month. And then, you know, it all adds up. So yeah. I think the most daunting part of writing a book, particularly the first book or even the second book or however many books, is feeling that it's never going to sort of culminate in anything. It's never going to add up to be something. And it's brick by brick.
Yeah.
So I really had to train myself. I when I'm working on something, I require a word count daily, and then I can be done.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go beyond it, and sometimes I literally quit, like, in the middle of a sentence. And so, but I've done it, and it all adds up. That's the work.
So it all adds up to the point where were you the day you got the call that you found out you were a New York Times bestselling author?
Oh my God, I literally remember this. I was in New York and I was on my, like, pre-core elliptical, and I feel like I was watching, like, American Idol or something. I mean, it sort of dates me. I mean, I guess it's still on. I don't watch it anymore, but it was when everybody was watching it, like Clay and Ruben or something like that.
Okay.
And
they've done, like, 97 Christmas specials since.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, this is a total sidebar, but, like, somebody retweeted something from Clay Aiken the other day on my Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God, Clay Aiken. Anyway, that's a totally different story for another time. But I was working out, and they called me, and it must have been, like, a Wednesday afternoon, because that's when the Times list hits. And, I mean, it was amazing. And then, you know, you go and you you do the work again and you write another book and so on and so forth. And that's just how it goes. I mean, I think like a lot of people, you maybe achieve something that you really thought was unattainable or super, you know, you feel super successful, but then you keep having to do the work.
It's true. You got to do your work, no matter what it is. You got to do your
work. That's right.
Well, speaking of doing your work, you're doing something this week here in Santa Monica at Bloomingdale's. You got to tell us all about it.
So, five women, four authors, and a book blogger are flying in. I'm just getting in my car and driving down to the promenade. Are coming in, and we're doing a big panel with, you know, talking books, talking life, talking. They have already done one of these in Miami, and I'm just joining for the LA one, so I'm sort of riffing on what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being, I don't know if everybody, we're going to talk parenting, but being a woman in this moment in time, being writing sort of female-centered novels, and drinking champagne and doing some giveaways and some shopping bonuses and, gabbing.
How do we get invited?
Turn out in Miami, so we're hoping that we can generate a lot of interest here. I think I personally am reading more than ever these days.
What are you reading?
Such a mental health break for me. So you know, it's an opportunity. Like if you like one of our work, to come in and maybe get to know other female authors who you might enjoy as well, who you haven't read. So it's just going to be fun, I think. I haven't been to Miami one, but I can't imagine it's not. So
how do we get invited?
I think it's going to be good. So I imagine that you may have a link and
I
that
do
you can
have
post
a link.
On Instagram. And I can, I have shared on Instagram. I'm at ASWIN.
It's on Eventbrite. All right. It says to register for Fashion and Fiction Bloomie's Book Club on Eventbrite. So go to Eventbrite, everybody. That's how simple it is.
Okay.
February 25th.
Gosh, how unprepared am I?
That's okay. It's right in front of me and I'm asking you. So it's Tuesday, February 25th from 6 to 9. The panel's at 6:30, Bloomingdale, Santa Monica, 315 Colorado Avenue. And to register for Fashion and Fiction Bloomie's Book Club on Eventbrite. So go there and fill it out. So you said you were reading. What books are you reading right now? That's interesting. I want to know.
Okay. So I feel like I have to refer to my Kindle, but I just recommended to my mom Nothing to See Here, which I loved so much. I just read Dear Edward, which I also really enjoyed. I listened to nonfiction, and I read fiction. So I just listened to Know My Name by Chanel Miller, who takes sort of a darker term, but was the Stanford rape victim. And I was hesitant about reading it or listening to it. It was extraordinary. So I really highly recommend.
What is that one called
again?
Know My Name.
By Chanel Miller.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. It was like, I was listening to it as I was walking my dog, sobbing. It was really, super powerful. And I just finished The Jet Setters by Amanda Eyre Ward. reading is like my happy place these days. So I recommend all of those. I think The Jet Setters is coming out next week. Nothing to See Here was out, I want to say, I don't know, a few months ago. It's by Kevin Wilson. He also wrote, I believe, Family Fang. And Dear Edward is by Anne Napolitano, and that was the Today Show pick for January. So I'm guessing a lot of listeners have already heard of it. So they're all a little different, and they were all excellent.
Awesome.
And I just started one that's coming out, that isn't out yet. So that's the perk of knowing some people on the inside.
That's the fun perk. Getting books, advanced copies is always fun, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's such a joy. Of course I buy them too, but somebody wants to send me books. It's, lights up my day. So I just started a book called Writers and Lovers by Lily King, I think, and it's great. I stayed up way too late last night.
Now, when are you going to start writing your next book?
Oh, Max.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You have like 12 under your cap.
No. This new Cleo McDougall is the first book that I've ever considered writing a sequel to.
Oh, really?
But I sort of, it is set in Washington, D.C., and it is not political. Like, it takes no political stance at all, but it does sort of speak to, this time in our history, women coming into power. So I'm not sure where we're going to be in a year when I would write the sequel. So I just feel like I need to see where things go. There would be a demand for that type of book.
Yeah. Well, you take a beat, right? But listen, the sequel, once you start a sequel, then you have a series on Netflix. So,
I love the vibe that you're putting out in the world. You are correct. So, series, film, I'll take any of it. So,
and, the sequel could be really fun.
We'll see. I feel like a lot of stuff can happen between now and August or now and... Ooh. Next year when I would write it. So.
Just between now and November. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the fun part.
No.
You'll be able to get... it's like Captain Crunch is like a cereal box. You'll get pull out the prize every month. There's something new happening. You could totally be inspired.
That's exactly right. I will say that we pushed to have this come out before November because we felt like
you had to.
It sort of had something to say. That's right. And who knows what's going to happen? And I'm actually glad it's getting really positive feedback. So I think it's a good read for the moment. So maybe I'll start on the sequel. I don't know.
December 1st.
We'll see what happens.
It's fun. But speaking of, because that book comes out August 1st, but right now, if you want to read a book, people can pick up, there's numerous books they can pick up of yours, but Between Me and You was the last one, right?
That one came out almost two years ago. Holy smokes. And that one, for LA listeners, I feel like is a good listen, it is about a long-term marriage of an actress and a screenwriter, and the husband tells their story backwards, like their love story, and the actress wife tells it forwards. So you meet them in the first scene when they have just split up, and then you meet her in the next chapter when they first meet. And, it deals with fame and power and long-term relationships and parents and siblings and addiction. And I really loved writing it. And, I'm very proud of it. So, it's certainly one of my favorites. So,
Between Me and You is the title of the book. You can get it anywhere, right? Barnes and Noble, Amazon, all those.
Oh
places.
Yeah. You can get it. You can get it.
You can get it. Can you get it?
Probably Amazon because it's 2 years old. So who knows what the inventory is somewhere. But yes.
Can you get it on Tuesday night? Do you have an extra box you could bring with you to Bloomingdale's?
Oh my God. I'm not. I actually think we are selling it.
Really?
We are selling it.
Perfect.
What's so funny about that is as I was packing up my office, I was like, God, I don't have any more copies of this. I need to get some. And then I found a whole box because that's what happens when you're moving.
Okay.
But yes, I actually think we are selling that on Tuesday night.
There
so,
you go. So go to Santa Monica.
I'm just showing up with a blowout.
There
so
you
that's
go.
All I know.
And a box of books.
That's right.
There's your biography, a blowout and a box of books. There's the title.
That's right. That sums up my life right now. So I'll be lucky if I can get that done.
I'm so grateful that you came and spent some time here, Max and Friends. Everyone, go to Twitter, go to Instagram, follow Allison now at A-S-W-I-N-N on both Instagram and Twitter. Go to Barnes & Noble. Like, go to a real bookstore and buy a book. Enough of this online shit. Like, go to a bookstore. Keep them alive. You know what I mean?
That's right. Independent bookstores.
Really? We need them. We really need them.
Yep. Oh, my God.
We need them more than ever.
I think most importantly, people need to read. Like, let's just read. And by the way, listening to books is, like, just as great. Like, you know, if you're in your car, do whatever you can.
Do you have your books on audio?
My books personally, yes, I do.
Okay,
they do, and I usually, for the past few books, I've had an incredible narrator named Julia Whelan. She's an actress as well, and she wins all these sorts of awards for narrating books. She's great, so I feel lucky to have her.
Awesome. Well, I feel lucky to have you here on Max and Friends tonight. Go back to
moving. Oh, my pleasure.
If I, like, you know, I would help, but I'm in the studio for like another 2 hours.
I know. Trust me, my parents flew in to help. That's like all we need. But I would recruit you. You don't want to come near me right now because, like, you need to help. Anyway, well, thank you for having me, Max. This is so delightful.
And
I hope to see some of your listeners Tuesday night at Bloomingdale's. I really do think it's going to be a great time.
Cool. Well, have a wonderful event. And until next time, you're always welcome here on Max and Friends.
Thank you, Max. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too. All right, y'all. We're going to play right now. Ain't Too Proud, because that's what I saw when I was in New York last week. And we're back. Sherry Carney's with me. Stay tuned here to Max and Friends.
Just My Imagination was a huge hit for the Temptations half a century ago. Now that song and many others are rocking a theater on Broadway. Tracy Smith has saved us a seat.
Close your eyes, and it's 1969 all over again.
I can make it rain whenever I want to.
This is Ain't Too Proud to Beg, the life and times of the Temptations.
But my life is incomplete, and I'm so blue, cause I can't get next to you.
Of course, they aren't the real Temptations, but just like the originals, they can sing, and man, can they move. And this is only the rehearsal.
I've heard this a lot, that this was my parents' music. Does that put pressure on you guys? This is a legacy you have to live up to?
It kind of just feels more like kind of like a love letter to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a Temptation when I was like a little boy.
And now you got the shot.
Now I got a shot. I got a shot to do, you know, a lifelong dream.
Well, I guess you would say.
And what a shot. The show is in previews now. It opens later this month. But the story has been in the works for more than 50 years. Detroit singer Otis Williams formed the group as the Elgins in 1960, and they got a name change to the Temptations when they signed with Motown the following year.
All right, y'all, we just played that clip, and I don't know what the hell I was playing, but I wanted to play you something because on Broadway right now, if you go to, what happened? Yeah, we're good. If you go now on Broadway, it's on Broadway right now, so don't pay attention to what that just said. Go see it because Derek is leaving the show on Wednesday. So if you have a chance, please go see it. I went for my birthday. Sensational, sensational, sensational. Ain't Too Proud. Go see it. Juwan, Derek, thank you so much for having us backstage. Wyclef was there sitting. I was like, Wyclef, you got to come backstage. And his beautiful wife. So Claudinette, we all went backstage, had a picture. Go to my Instagram, at Max Tucci. You can see it there. All right, we got to move forward. I love you all for tuning in because my next guest, Sherry Carney, is coming here to Max and Friends. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Let's just take a minute to breathe in this moment and appreciate it for what it is. It's right now and right here on Max and Friends. Hey, Sherry Carney, welcome to the show.
Hey, Max. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so grateful that you're here. Do me a favor. Just lower your volume a little bit on your mic. Oh, I could do it here. Hey. How are you, Sherry?
Is that better?
Yes. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me tonight. What are you doing?
I have no idea. All I know is I'm having a good time, and that's all that this show is about. You know, it's a good time. But I want to play something here right now because I know that this has a lot of meaning to you, so stay tuned. I'm going to put it right here, and I'm going to play it. Where We Roar as One with Sherry Carney on LA Talk Radio, Sundays at 4 p.m. Sherry Carney, how does it feel to have your own show now on LA Talk Radio?
Oh, my God. It is mind-blowing. First of all, everybody out there, it is so much harder than it looks. When Max is there and he's just like sliding through and it all is smooth, I'm telling you, it's a skill that has to be learned, and I am learning it. But oh my God, it looks a lot easier than it is, and Max is the pro. But having the show, what's really important about the show is giving survivors a voice, having transforming pain into purpose. It's about helping survivors of sexual assault and abuse empower all of us, find their voice, take action. It's really like a home space for anyone that's been sexually assaulted, sexually abused, sexual violence, rape, sexual disrespect. We are the hearth and we are family, and come join us. We love you. You're welcome. And your voice means everything to us.
You know, and I got to say also, it's not only for those who have, you know, who have been through it, but also for their family members to come and find, you know, that others have gone through this too. And to find, like, you know, the word peace just is, you know, it seems like it's so intangible and so unreal when you've gone through something so horrific. But, you know, it really is a place where you can come in for that moment, that 1 hour with Sherry, and just find that peace where it's like, I'm not the only one that's been through this. I will get through this. And there's a whole tribe behind me lifting me up. And that's what you guys do. And so I'm proud of you for doing it.
Thank you. And thank you for helping me do it. I mean, this is a show. You're absolutely right, Max. It's not just for survivors. It's for anybody who loves survivors, is related to a survivor, has friends that are survivors. And the thing that I love so much about this show is it is not just about the pain that we endured, but it's about what you do with that pain to make a difference. And our guests are incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, like, tonight the guest has an app called Victim's Voice. It's victimsvoice.app. For recording what happened to you, keeping a record, it's embedded, it's admissible in court. We had a guest, our first show, a TV movie was made about her life called You Can't Take My Daughter, Annalyn Megason, and her work as a survivor. She was raped and had a child as a result of a pretty much stranger rape. She knew the guy very much through a friend of a friend. And she decided to keep the child, and her experience in changing the law for anyone who's going through a custody fight, who's been raped. She changed the law in her own state of Florida and then changed federal legislation.
Yeah. And you then could, we had Roger. And that movie, real quick, that movie's on Lifetime right now. So you can go see that movie. It was on Lifetime. So I'm sure that, you know, you can find it.
Yeah. Lifetime's replaying it, and it's just wonderful. And then after the movie, it's kind of a mini documentary about her life and other survivors who were victims of rape and gave birth to children that they're now struggling over custody. Then we had Roger, who is like our own NCIS sex crimes unit, you know, worked for sex crimes unit in the Bronx, New York, U.S. Attorney General, advisor to the United States military. And we have many more survivors.
And those are only your first three shows.
Right. I mean, we have someone from The Keepers coming on. I don't know if you remember the Netflix show The Keepers.
Yeah, of course.
And so one of the victims from The Keepers is coming on soon. So I'm just super excited. It's a place also, Max, you always talk about this. You talk about love and people feeling loved and safe. And we want our family of survivors and the people who care about survivors, who care about the issue, to have a safe place where they can have their voices heard, where they can be loved by us. You are our family, La Familia, And I want you all to know that this is the space to have that conversation.
Absolutely. Roar with Sherry Carney on LA Talk Radio. That's every Sunday at 4 p.m. And then you can go get the replays. And then you're going to be like on like Apple Podcasts, and you're going to be on Spotify and all that too. So just keep the lookout. You know, I have you here tonight because, you know, the show is brand new. You're in your third episode, season one, episode three. And, you know, isn't it easy? So much easier to come on someone else's show and talk about it.
Oh, my God. It's so much easier. And I've been a guest on Oprah. I've been a guest on ABC Primetime, on CNN, MSNBC. Hosting is a whole different thing.
But you do it well.
I do a tribute to all hosts who do it eloquently and easily. I have never been so obsessed with a clock, because when you do your own show, like Max said, you know, get a huge clock. I've got this huge clock and I'm looking at seconds. I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, it's a journey. I love learning. I love doing it. I love you, Max, for helping to mentor me through this process. And it's really a privilege and an honor to
absolutely
feel like I finally have a voice.
But, you know, I think also the reality is that, you know, you went through what you went through, and we're going to talk about it. You've been here before on the show a million times, so people know your story, but we'll brief it up. And, you know, it's like no experience goes wasted. And, you know, it sucks to say that for survivors, but it really, with your experience, it's not going wasted, because, like, you're leaving a legacy behind because of it. And you're changing the law, and you're changing things, and you're creating shows, and you're creating conversation, conscious conversation, where people can come and hear a point of view that maybe they didn't know was a point of view until they heard it on your show. So let's get into your story. We have a couple of minutes. I want to talk about, you know, your story in a brief Reader's Digest version, if you would.
Okay, Reader's Digest version. I was sexually abused by my father. I was raped at the age of six by another close family friend, family member. Repressed all memory until I took my first child sexual abuse case as the attorney. I didn't really want the case. No one else would take it. I got shamed into doing it by a therapist who said, "What's wrong with all you lawyers? Why don't you want to help kids?" And, you know, Catholic guilt, Jewish guilt, Armenian guilt, any religious guilt, Muslim guilt, it's guilt. So I got guilted into it. And in the process of trying this first case, I had the perpetrator on the witness stand. He was very arrogant. He clearly was rubbing me the wrong way in a variety of manners. And I was cross-examining him, asked him if he'd ever touched his daughter's genitals. He didn't know what the word touch meant. Finally shouted out, "Does anybody have a definition of the word touched?" I began to cross-examine him. "Well, if you've touched your daughter's genitals, how many times? Was it 20? Was it 200? Was it 200,000? I'm stomping around. I'm getting more and more upset. I keep thinking someone's typing in the courtroom. Think the court reporter's making a noise on her device, machine." And he throws out this flip answer. "I touched her maybe 20 to 200 times. I said, for what possible reason? And he said, to medicate her. Mm-hmm. And I reached across the witness stand, tried to strangle the guy. The baby was only 3 years old that he had been allegedly sexually assaulting, but there was medical evidence. There was all kinds of documentation. I had to reach across the stand. I try to strangle him. I get handcuffed, dragged out of court, clearly cited for contempt, clearly in terrible trouble, spend two nights in jail. Judge calls me to his chambers and says, it's the worst, most despicable lawyer-like behavior he's ever seen in his 35 years at the bench. I felt horror and shame. And I, you know, kept my head down and I said, yes, Your Honor, you're right, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor. And he said, I'm going to give you three choices. I'm going to send you back to jail for contempt of court, and I can decide when you can come out. And I can begin proceedings to take your law license away, or I can order you into court-ordered therapy. If you select therapy, it means that I am going to monitor personally your therapy, because I want to make sure that I'm not releasing on the legal profession someone who just displayed the type of behavior you displayed. And I went into court-ordered therapy. I did not think I needed it. I was hoping to get drive-through therapy. I would show up, the therapist would do a few ahas, yes, how do you feel, and sign my piece of paper so I could get an out-of-jail quick card. Well, the very first question the therapist asked me was, well, what do you think the typing sounds are about? Beat, beat, beat. I grab her trash can and I start throwing up into the trash can.
Yeah.
But I don't have any problems, right? I don't think I should be there. So she decides to put me into group therapy with other survivors to see if that's a more supportive environment. And through this process, I indeed recovered memories of horrendous child sexual abuse, rape, and I was physically abused by my mother, burned with cigarettes, thrown down the stairs, slapped, pinched, and twice my mother tried to murder me by putting a pillow over my head and trying to suffocate me. And then
you had a movie about it, right? Because that's how... No, like, you know, it sounds like people are tuning in are like, what is going on? You know, like just hearing it, and I've heard it, you know, how you've been on this show how many times, and I'm hearing it again. I'm like, how did this even like happen? It blows my mind. It angers me. And it's like, what the fuck? And then, and here you are living through it.
And here's the thing. My mother became a therapist.
Of course.
She became a marriage, family, child therapist and treated victims. And I remember my mother saying to me, you know, if you open your mouth one more time, you are really going to get it. And I said, Mom, you can kill me on the spot, but I'm going to say you are the craziest bitch I've ever seen. And you're crazy. I'm not. She did beat the hell out of me, but mm-hmm. I'm glad I said it.
Yeah.
But the point is,
well, let me tell you, hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick, because you know, that's speaking your truth and being authentic to who you are. And that's exactly what the whole purpose of your show, Roar with Sherry, is becoming about. Is about, you know, bringing on people and having their side of the story be told. You know, when you were on the Jessica show on The Polished Woman, you know, your earring kept falling off. And the reason why I bring up this story is because your stories are only half heard. And that's when you came up with that slogan, like, story, our stories as survivors, your stories, not mine, because I'm, you know, I would never went through that lifestyle, but I never went through that, you know, in my life, I meant to say,
yeah.
And that experience. And, you know, that earring kept falling off and you're like, we're half heard. And then we're like, girl, we need to make an earring. The Roar is one earring, you know? So it's like, it's really become a platform of truth and experience. And, yeah. And the show, you know, again, you know, today was your third episode. You're really doing it. You know, can you believe you're really doing it?
I think is my question. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And the thing that's so exciting about the show is two things. I don't feel alone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning so much from the guests who are teaching me things that it's like blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not just about our victimization, but it's about how it made us into the people we are today. And I feel like my greatest gift was hidden in my greatest trauma.
Yeah.
And I feel like the trauma brought me really to do greater things in life and to make every day count and to realize each day could be my last day on the planet.
Right.
And I have to do something of real value to me or to others.
What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy, I want to be that I was the person who went through this and we were able to give survivors across the United States uniform statutes of limitations for child sexual abuse, criminal and civil, so that survivors' voices are heard and they have their day in court and survivors are able to partake of justice and the justice system works on behalf of survivors. I feel also half of my legacy or my dream is coming true now with the Me Too movement and the fact that for so many years, Max, I felt like I was screaming into the wind.
Mm.
I felt like I was the only one. And I was asked all these embarrassing and horrible and terrible and ignorant questions. And it was hard. Mm. I mean, I just felt so alone. And now I feel embraced by all the voices coming forward, whether they're the alleged Weinstein victims, Epstein victims, Boy Scout victims, Catholic Church victims, and just all of the children around the United States and the world who are enduring the horrors of child sexual abuse and then growing up and they have no rights and no one believes them or the legal system says too bad, you know, the courtroom doors are shut. I can't leave the next generation with that same horror story that so many of us have gone through in this lifetime. I can't do it. I don't feel right about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to pass the torch onto the next generation, but we need to give them better than what we had.
Mm. You know, you're turning victims into victors. Like, really, from being victimized to victory is really what it's turning out, you know, to be.
We're talking to are like amazing warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, they're convicting child molesters. They're writing apps. They're, you know.
So let me ask you a question. For people who want to be on the show who've gone through this, how do they reach out to you and how can they get on the show? How can they be considered a guest?
That's a great question. They can email me at Roar, R-O-A-R, and the initials S-L-K at gmail.com.
Perfect. And then you've also started a 501c3, which is Roar as One. Tell us about that.
Correct. Roar as One is a nonprofit organization whose mission is justice for survivors. And it's survivors of all forms of sexual violence and physical violence, whether you've been raped. I mean, date rape is kind of an oxymoron. It's not really a date if somebody's going to rape you. Mm-hmm. Campus sexual assault, child sexual abuse. And Roar as One's mission is justice for survivors and letting stories be told and believed and letting the legal system do its job in determining who's guilty, who's innocent, who has rights, who doesn't. But at least we're trying to have a world organization that brings survivors across the world together. For example, one of the stories we just were dealing with is child marriage. Child marriage, believe it or not, is a terrible problem in the United States and super bad in California too. Mm-hmm. So many perpetrators are marrying their victims and therefore aren't subject to any kind of legal action. So there are so many, you know, twists and turns in this path. I mean, we just kind of have to outsmart predators.
And how do you do that?
One of the things I think you have to do is you have to be a victim to understand the grooming process. Mm-hmm. How do they groom you to stay quiet and to think it's your own fault? But I also think it's important that we start closing known loopholes like NDAs, non-disclosure agreements for sexual assault and sexual abuse. All the techniques that big and small predators use to shut up victims. And there needs to be revolutionary changes because victims right now who testify about, even adult victims who testify about being raped, are re-raped again by the legal system. So many changes in the law need to get enacted, but we're going to start with the first change first, which is to open the courthouse doors. Where we go from there, we'll know next, but hopefully to open the courthouse doors to all survivors. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you one last quick thing. So the law in California has no statute of limitations for embezzlement, treason, torture, murder. It does have a statute for rape and for child sexual abuse. Why?
Well, why?
Stealing someone's money is more heinous than stealing their innocence, their childhood, their future. We were just on with a guest tonight. We were talking about how long post-traumatic stress disorder lasts and triggers last. And it's a lifetime. Even you get better, even though you have therapy, even though you've advanced and you've grown, this is a tattoo you're not getting off. So the answer is really education and prevention. For example, yesterday an 11-year-old girl gave birth to a little boy. She was raped, allegedly, by her brother. He admits to reporters that he had sex with her. He was 17. More than 100 times with an 11-year-old. Mm. And who doesn't notice, Max, at school an 11-year-old child is pregnant? How does that go?
Well, it goes because, you know, there's so much red tape. I mean, it's so obvious how it goes.
Oh, my God. It's terrible, though. I mean, so she's 11. She's pregnant. No one knows, including her mother and father, until she gives birth to this baby at 11. And it's her brother's child, allegedly, in Missouri. And so this is the kind of thing, like, I don't want a survivor to say to me, what happened to them wasn't as bad as it could have been, or wasn't as bad as someone else. If it happened to you, it's as bad as it can get because you experienced it. It's not, you know, well, he had, quote, oral sex with me, but at least he didn't rape me. That's not enough. It's all terrible. It all leaves the damages. And we're never going to stop it if we don't have the victims know what happened to them, have recovery for victims, make victims advocates so they can protect the next generation of children.
Yeah. Well, you're spearheading it with the show Roar with Sherry Sundays at 4 p.m. on LA Talk Radio. And then the show's going to archive so everyone can listen. And if you follow Sherry right now on Instagram at Roar with Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Roar with Sherry, there you can click the link in the bio. You can hear the shows and it'll bring you to the LA Talk Radio page where you can hear the past shows. So you've got amazing shows coming up. I know that Billy King is coming on and Ravanya, who've been here, are coming on. But, I mean, you know, you really have an amazing lineup of guests for the next couple of months. You're doing your work.
I know, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. It's so exciting. And thank you for mentoring me and helping me bring me to this place. You've been pushing me. It's got to be what, Max, a year you've been urging me?
Yeah. But, you know, it always comes down to
my wings.
You know, where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. You know, so I believe that it doesn't matter how the illusion of time came upon us and where, you know, where we were, where, you know, where it was, is that now it's happening. You know, and I think that's the most important thing.
Now it is happening, and we want it to happen everywhere, and we want everybody to support in Congress the Kearney, K-A-R-N-E-Y-U-S-O-L, the Kearney Uniform Statute of Limitations across the United States for child sexual abuse and for child victims.
And you've changed the law, haven't you? We have like a couple minutes, so tell us real quick about it.
I changed the law in California. I co-changed the law with a colleague of mine that extended for the first time. It was very landmark, and it was a pioneering law, the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse to be until your 26th birthday and then 3 years from the date of discovery of damages. Mm-hmm. Because like me, my damages, I didn't put all my damages together to know what had happened to me. That law was revolutionary at the time, but it is now out of date and needs to be updated in California. California just opened up a one-year window. It's not the right way to do things. It's a step in the right direction. Then I consulted on a law that Senator Connie Leyva introduced that removed the statute of limitations in California for continuous child sexual abuse, rape, and campus sexual assault for criminal charges. And that was signed by Governor Brown in 2016. I then got rid of the incest exception in California, and it's kind of a complicated thing, but the law said that if you're a stranger, we're going to throw the book at you in California, but if it's someone in the family or someone you know really well, we're going to divert you to therapy. A group of people were involved in that, and we closed that loophole. So California still has a long way to go, but the rest of the country really has a long way to go. For example, in a Boy Scout case, two of the Scouts were sexually abused, and they're from New York and New Jersey, and those two states just opened up civil windows of 2 years and 1 year. 2 years in New Jersey, 1 year in New York. However, one of the victims is from Florida. Mm-hmm. Florida has not opened the statute of limitations. That little boy who was molested as a little boy, who's now an adult, has no rights. Whereas the two other or 10 other or 30 other boys sexually assaulted allegedly by that troop leader do have rights.
Wow.
It's not fair.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that's why Roar Sherry is on LA Talk Radio, because you're going to continue these conversations there. We got to wrap the show up because the time has flown, girl. But I love you for being here. I had to have you here. And just keep doing you. And the way you were tonight on this show just and on your shows, just keep doing that. Remember, it's just a conscious conversation to inspire, to encourage, and to really bring people together to, you know, to share your story.
Thank you, Max. Thank you so much.
I got to let you go. But before I let you go, what do you want people to take with them into this week?
Turn your pain into purpose.
There you go. And tune in to the Sherry to Roar with Sherry Carney on LA Talk Radio Sundays at 4 p.m. Tune in tomorrow to The Polish Woman at 1 o'clock here on LA Talk Radio live stream. Keep listening to Max and Friends every Sunday night here at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I love you all for tuning in. What I want you to take in with you with this with you into this week is that literally just be. Be present, be still, and know that where you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. I promise you, there's always a silver lining. You just got to look for it. And if you need someone to help you look for it, tweet me at Max Succi or hit me up on Instagram at Max Succi. I'm here for you. I love you. I see you. I hear you. And you matter. And next week, tune in because Kimberly Joy, speaking of joy, is coming on next Sunday from The Voice. So stay tuned to Max and Friends. Sherry, I'll talk to you soon. Good night, y'all. Love you for tuning in. Good night and good karma and take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Succi for Max and Friends.